Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. This is edition number 156 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me as we continue looking at the Westminster Shorter Catechism in our time together each day. We are now in the concluding sections of the Catechism. We are dealing with the subject of prayer. Today we're going to look at the question and answer of Shorter Catechism, question number 100. But let's pray first, and then we will consider these things together. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word again for another day, we thank you that it is the bread of life, that it gives us guidance and direction. It gives us light on our path. It strengthens us, upholds us, even convicts us where needed. And your word that's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, is that which discerns the very thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And so as we consider your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to us through it, that your spirit would help us. He would give us the grace that we need to understand even the simplest of these truths. And may they be applied to our lives. Forgive us for our sins and our transgressions and the ways in which we fall short of your glory. And help us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are looking at Shorter Catechism question number 100, which simply asks, what doth the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? Now, we have already considered question 99, that the whole Word of God is of use in prayer, but that special rule of direction is that form of prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Many of you know the Lord's Prayer by heart. You could recite it with no problem, but it's not enough, of course, to just simply recite it. We must give thought and attention to that which we are praying when we use the Lord's Prayer. So the preface begins the Lord's Prayer, and the preface of the Lord's Prayer does teach us many things. And what is that? Well, the preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is Our Father, which art in heaven, teacheth us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. There are a number of items here that need to be discussed or fleshed out. And the first is that the preface of the Lord's Prayer does teach us to draw near to the God of heaven. When we use the words, Our Father, which art in heaven, we are addressing Him. We are addressing the very God of heaven. And as a result, we need to do so. We need to draw near to Him with a holy reverence. Now, if we look at Psalm 95, in verse 6, there we read, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Excuse me. There we note, of course, in a classic psalm of used often in as a call to worship, at least I use it often, there we note that we are coming to worship and bow down before the God of heaven. Now, prayer is an act of worship. You are approaching the God of heaven. You are to do so with reverence, with awe, because He is not like you and me. He is the God of all creation. He is the alone sovereign of heaven and earth. And so the psalmist highlights this, that we come and we bow down, that is to say that we demonstrate a certain attitude of reverence to the God of heaven. We kneel before Him. He is the majestic God. And so when we pray, we are to pray in such a way that demonstrates this frame. We are not just talking to a friend, although He is our friend. We are not just talking to a peer, our spouse, or another human friend or a family member. We are talking to the Almighty. And this idea that I've witnessed and I have actually seen with people a little bit too frivolous in their approach to the God, it's careless, it's irreverent, and the Lord's Prayer teaches us that we ought to draw near to Him with great reverence and great care. It also teaches us that we do it with confidence. So as we draw near with this holy reverence, we do so with confidence to God in heaven. Well, now, why should we have confidence? Because He is not like the deaf idols of Israel. He is not He is not like our friends who don't always listen to us when we talk to them. He is not like our spouse or our family members or whoever that we're talking, but it doesn't seem like they're even processing anything that we're saying. It's as though their brain is somewhere else, their mind is somewhere else. But the God of heaven hears you and me when we pray. He is mindful of our needs and our concerns. And though he may be listening at that very moment to millions of prayers all at the same time, it's as though you're the only one who is praying. And we have confidence because that which we ask of him, those desires of our hearts, the things that we stand in need of, as we noted from Shorter Catechism question number 98, what is prayer? It's an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. We know that he's not only listening to us, but that he is able to accomplish that which we ask. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, jumping very much into the middle of a lengthy context, but there we read, in him we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Now that boldness and confidence, of course, comes to us because of the work of Jesus Christ, and we've been taught to pray in his name. We pray to the Father through the Son by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we read in Hebrews 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so as we draw near with reverence and awe, with humility, we can be confident that he will hear us, and he responds to us. He doesn't always give us everything we want. We recognize that. We want what he wants. As Christians, we want his will. We're going to deal with that in a future edition as we work through the Lord's Prayer. But we do have confidence that he is listening and that he can act, and he can act in a perfect way for the good of his children. And we do so as children. And there we note that we come, we draw near with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a father. Now, it is true, of course, that God is the Father of all living. That is true in one sense. But here in the Lord's Prayer, that is not the sense in which it is being offered. It is being offered in the sense that we are the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High. And that is that as we go to him, we are not going to an angry judge. We are going to a just judge. But more than that, we are going to a father who cares deeply for his people. Just as you would as a child, you may remember many of these occasions in which you had a need or a burden. You fell down on the street and skinned your knee, and you ran to your father and you asked for help. You asked for comfort. You sought guidance in some matter in your life. And why did you go to him? Why didn't you go to some other father on the planet? Well, because they're not your father. You go to your father because he has a relationship with you, and there's an intimate bond of blood and relation. And well, in the same sense, we go to the Father. We are the sons and daughters of the God of heaven. He is our Father, and we plead with him. We go to him for all that we need. And of course, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, we read Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Let me back up to verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, this is precisely regarding the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we ask for the Spirit's help in matters that he has promised to give him to us to help us. But the point is still there. We are approaching our Father. We are approaching a Father, the Father, who cares for his people, a Father who is able and ready to help us. He is not impotent. He is not unable. to help us in matters that affect our lives. If he were, then the admonition to us to cast our burdens upon the Lord because he cares for us wouldn't even make any sense. But he is able. We read again in Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." Now, just meditate on those words just for a few moments. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." Now, I don't know about you, but I can ask for a lot of things, and I can think a lot of things. But here, Paul tells us that our God in heaven is able to do even far more abundantly than any of those things that I even present to him. "According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Indeed, our God is able. Your Father in heaven is able to help us in whatever concern we have. And he's ready to do so. He bids us to come and plead with him. Now, we're also taught not only to approach our Father in heaven with holy reverence and confidence as children, who to a Father who is able and ready to help us, but we're also taught that we should pray with and for others. We note, of course, the plural use there of the pronoun, "our Father." This is a corporate expression. It's a prayer of plurality. We should pray with and for others. And we should be praying for the needs of our brothers and sisters in the church. I encourage people to have a prayer list, to write it down, to not simply try to keep it in your head, but to put it on paper or put it in some kind of task manager, whatever tool you choose to use, but utilize this in such a way as you can chart and track your prayers for the needs of the saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." Now, this kind of prayer, the supplication, is the prayer of petition. It's the prayer of needs or requests that you ask of God. And so we should be praying for other people, but we should also be praying with other people as well. The corporate prayer meeting is an excellent opportunity for you to gather as a family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father there is present to hear his children pray together out loud even. And it's a wonderful time to unite with our brothers and sisters to hear their burdens, their concerns, and to hear them pray and to pray with them, even as they're praying out loud, and to pray for them. And we are to pray for others, of course, as I've mentioned in at least one example in Scripture. The Apostle Paul is a wonderful example of the number of times he starts his letters with the things that he is praying for that church that he is writing to. But we read in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." So you need to be praying for your brothers and sisters. We all do. We need that prayer. We need the prayers of the saints. It is not a frivolous activity. It is not a waste of time. It is not just something we do. It is vital. It's important to the health of your brothers and sisters and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of these things are here in this preface to the Lord's Prayer, which is "Our Father, which art in heaven." Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. I hope they encourage you in your walk with the Savior, that they encourage you in your time of prayer. You might meditate even further upon these very important truths and then seek to apply them to your very life. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me. The way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until the Thursday edition, when we begin to look at the first petition using Shorter Catechism question 101, may the Lord bless you today. May you serve him. God bless.